This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a recipe from Gia and Olive, music, and another Grace Point episode.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're delighted to be starting the week together. You know, we hope you had a fantastic weekend filled with peace and love of Jesus.
Friends, do you have a furry friend at home? Maybe not a furry one, but what about a scaly one? Snakes, lizards, turtles, and more. Today is Reptile Awareness Day, and we're celebrating these amazing creatures that God created.
And they're so fun. Here are some interesting facts about reptiles. Did you know that the Australian crocodile is the largest living reptile in the world?
Whew, I don't think I want to encounter one of those.
No.
Reptiles are ectothermic or cold-blooded, which means their body temperature depends on external sources, such as the sun or warm surfaces.
Interesting. Some reptiles give birth by laying eggs, and others give birth to live young.
And something else extremely interesting, the temperature of the soil the eggs are laid on will determine the gender of the offspring.
That is interesting.
I did not know that.
You know, reptiles are incredible, and so is the God who created them. Later on today's program, we're going to share a new segment called Grace Points as we talk about God's amazing grace, the grace He gives to each one of us. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1959, thousands gathered on Fifth Avenue in New York City to see the grand opening of the Guggenheim Museum, a uniquely designed white concrete building resembling an upside-down cupcake. The museum housed one of the world's premier collections of contemporary art.
You know, just as a Guggenheim's museum, bold and unconventional design drew crowds, sometimes God's plans for our lives may not look like what we expected or what others expect. Yet God is the ultimate architect, shaping us in ways that may seem strange or even misunderstood at times. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, we are reminded that we are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Even when life seems uncertain or out of the ordinary, place yourself in God's hands and trust that He is crafting you into something beautiful, and He will use your story to reveal His glory.
Amen. It's now time to go into the kitchen as Gia and Olive whip up another delicious recipe this morning.
We are making one of the tastiest breakfast that you'll ever have. You have to try this recipe. It's a must. It's a sago breakfast, tropical because of the fruit and because of the coconut milk. And we're going to show you how to make it. I went to a friend's house a few years ago and made this. Well, I didn't make it. They made it for me and it changed my life, seriously. That's how you're going to fall off again if you do that. So we've got to cook the sago first. And what it is 2 cups of water. And this will make at least enough for 4 people for breakfast, if not more. And 1 cup of sago, or they're tapioca pearls, and you can buy them at any Asian store. Some supermarkets have them as well. And 1 can of coconut milk. And I'll turn on the heat. And you have to always stir it. So every minute or two, just check it and just stir it. It doesn't take too long. It's probably about 10, 15 minutes to cook. But you won't be sorry once you try it. So we've been cooking the sago or tapioca pearls for about 15 minutes now, and I wanted to show you what they actually look like when they're done. So they start to look clear like this. See how that little pearl has become clear or translucent? So that's how you want it to look. If they've got white in them still, like the little pearls have a white dot, they're not ready, okay? You must add some water as you're cooking. I did add a little bit of water just so that it continues to cook out. That's what they look like. And we are gonna put some here. So we make little breakfast bowls for everyone. Do you want one? Olive has her own little bowl, her little breakfast bowl. So what you do is you put tapioca in first, or the tapioca pearls.
Mama, can I?
And then what will we put on top? We'll put some fruit on top, some strawberries. Let's put some blueberries. Strawberries on yours. Strawberries. Oh, and mango, why not? Okay, so you put the fruit of the season or whatever fruit you have, cornflakes on top, because it gives it that little bit of crunch while you've got the softness of the tapioca pearl. And the tapioca is warm, and you put a little bit of cold milk on top. Just, we use soy milk, but you can use milk that you like. Just a touch on top, that cold versus the heat with the crunch. Drizzle some honey on top. Would you like some honey on yours? Okay. Your morning breakfast tropical tapioca. There it is. Can you see that? You must try it. I'll say it again. Must.
It's now time for another Grace Points episode, a new segment here on Wake Up With Hope. Today, Melvin Warfield Jr. walks us through the power of giving grace away.
Hey, everybody out there in Grace Points land. It has been months. I mean, really, it's been months. And I'm really excited to get back and talk about grace. I mean, the reality is all of us love talking about grace. We sing songs about grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that can pardon and cleanse within. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We love grace. Why? Because it's the sole means by which we obtain salvation. It is the only way that we can be saved. The Bible says, by grace you have been saved. Your works don't mean anything. Your works are in response to the grace that already saved you. You're saved by grace. We love that 2,000-year-old grace that works from antiquity, that flowed, that reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley, that grace that extends toward us. We love God's grace toward us. Wait a minute. Yeah, it's complicated. We love God's grace toward us. Did you hear that? We love it toward us. I love my grace. The challenge is grace gets complicated. Grace has requirements. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8 tells us, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Here it is. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Grace means you have to give it. You got to extend it. You're an extension cord. You're plugged into the source of grace and you're extending it to the world around you. You have to give grace. In fact, the grace that we want to receive is often in response to the grace that we extend. The Bible says, if we don't forgive others, then we're in danger of not being forgiven ourselves. If we don't extend grace, we're in danger of not receiving that same grace. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. You're awesome. The first thing that we need to be able to extend grace is self-awareness. That's right, self-awareness. Christians can be very blind. There's nothing worse than a Christian, a believer, who doesn't have self-awareness, who thinks they know it all, or they won't extend grace to others, they're not forgiving, they're judgmental, they talk about everybody without realizing they need that same grace themselves. That's the reality, we all need it. And for us to be able to extend it, I've got to admit that I am imperfect and I need it. I'm not better than anyone. I need grace. I'm saved by grace. But then number two, we have to have empathy. Everybody say that out there. Empathy. That's right. We have to have empathy. We have to be able to walk in someone else's shoes and see their suffering, not just their sin. We have to see their pain, not just their problematic behavior. You have to be able to extend grace to the people with whom you fundamentally disagree. The people that have hurt you, that have offended you, you've got to be able to walk and experience that and say, if it weren't for God's grace, that could be me. I need the same grace and I've got to extend it to others. You've got to extend it to people like you. You need grace. I've got to extend it to you, the one who stole my pen last year and didn't give it back. Don't think I forgot about that. You have to extend that same grace to others with empathy. But then number three, the last thing. You have to be generous. That is absolutely right. You have to have generosity. You have to be willing to give. We love experiencing and receiving. We don't like giving. One of our favorite words in the English language is mine. Mine, mine, mine. We immediately revert to being kindergartners and preschoolers, toddlers again. Mine. I want my blessing, my worship, my praise on. I got to get my word today. But God's grace is extended through you to others. You have to be generous with His grace, willing to pour it out like water. Who do you need to extend grace to today? I can't answer that question for you, but I pray that in your prayer time, your devotional time today, you would listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you would extend that grace to someone else. That God would lay on your heart, your brother, your sister, your friend, coworker, neighbor across the street, your children, your parents, you would extend that grace to someone in need today. Freely you have received, freely give. Anyway, it's really great to be back with you. Looking forward to being together again next week. You're awesome as always. This is Grace Points. God bless you.
Sivasa Laupati joins us this morning to bless us in song. He sings, "Take Me Home."
Where We belong.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
When we return, Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional message. Stay right with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. It's now time for our devotional thought brought to us today by our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
The story of the fall of Adam and Eve is one of the greatest dark spots in the history of mankind. I've often wondered what life would be like today if the pair had stayed faithful. Revelation 21 tells us that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the former things have passed away. And in this new earth, there will be no more pain, sorrow, crying, or death. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Unfortunately, my imagination is incapable of grasping this. Like you, I've grown up in a world filled with violence, hate, wickedness, and grief. Everywhere I look, there's pain and suffering. A land of peace and joy? Oh, how glorious that would be. Certainly not the description of this miserable planet we live in today. And all of this chaos was birthed in the perfect garden when the first human beings decided that they could better plan their own destiny than their creator could provide. The events unfolding and leading to the garden fall must have been difficult for the universe to witness. All that the pair had needed to succeed and remain faithful had been provided. Unlike us, they had no sin and possessed no propensity or desire to sin. In all estimations, there should have been no reason for them to reject the love of God. But sin is illogical. It is a strange cancer that creeps in and causes irrational thinking if allowed to take root and grow in the human soul. And that's exactly what happened to Eve. At some point, Eve must have made a decision to wander away from Adam. Or maybe she just got caught up in the moment of tending the beautiful garden and, in her innocence, was separated from him. Either way, she left his side and eventually found herself staring at the forbidden tree. Psalms 101:3 says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." But that's exactly what Eve did. She allowed herself to be drawn to the tree and then set her eyes upon it. We don't know what thoughts went through her head as she stared at the forbidden, and we aren't told how long she gazed before the serpent spoke. But what we do know is that she lingered there long enough to allow sinful thoughts to take root and to get into a conversation with Satan. The question is, when did she sin? In the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew 5, Jesus spoke of lust. He said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Notice that Christ connected the words look and lust in this passage. In the case of relationships, a look that leads to lust is adultery. And so sin occurs first in the heart. Well, spiritually speaking, Adam and Eve were married to God. This is the sense that we get in Ezekiel 16, when God finds the baby tossed in the wilderness, picks her up, cleans her, and marries her. Scripture describes our relationship with the Lord as a marriage. When Adam and Eve sinned, they broke their marriage vows to God. They committed adultery. But if we gauge this through the eyes of Matthew 5, whenever Eve's look gave way to lust, and she desired the fruit, at that point, she committed adultery. And really, that's the way it works. The act of committing an action is preceded by the internal commitment to do whatever is eventually done. In other words, actions are simply a result of a decision. It's a cause and effect thing. In Eve's case, the effect was the plucking of the fruit and eating it. But the cause was the decision she made after looking at the fruit, believing the serpent, and lusting over it. Adam went through the same process when she shared the fruit with him, and in what I imagine was seconds, they had despised their inheritance, their future, and their family. There's much more that can be said about the actual process of sinning in the garden, but I'll let you study that further on your own. What I'd like to focus on is what takes place next. Once the pair had consummated their rebellion, God removed from the covering of light, and they found themselves naked. No longer were they righteous, but sinners instead. Immediately, the pair knew things were not the same. Life was not all right. Not only were they not transformed into gods, but now that which caused them to shine, the robe of light, was gone as well, and they stood there in brokenness, exposed as the criminals to the law of God that they now were. How long they were in this state, we aren't told, for Scripture immediately turns to the next scene. The voice of God is heard walking in the cool of the day and calling for Adam and Eve. The pair, recognizing their grave mistake and their pitiful condition, did as many of us do. They ran and hid. How difficult this must have been for God. In hiding from their Creator, the pair was indicating that they no longer trusted Him. Their mind was now clouded, their senses were foggy, and they could not see God for the loving Creator that He is. The pair hid out of fear, fear for what they had done and the consequences that would necessarily come as a result, fear that God was not who they thought He was. After all, the serpent had already lied to them and painted a less than truthful picture of God's love. Maybe even fear that God would reject them and no longer want anything to do with them. Well, they could not be further from the truth. God was not there to deal out punishments, although punishments were necessary in order to now save them. But He was there to pick up the pieces, to hug them, to hold them, to love them, to make a way of escape. It is in Genesis 3 that we find the great fall. But there, we also have revealed to us the great escape. God would give His life for man so that man might have eternal life. And this, my friends, is the love of God. Satan would have you believe that you have gone too far, that there is no way God can love you, much less forgive you and cleanse you. But you can't believe that lie. Scripture is very clear. We serve a God that pursues us. Our God, the God of the Bible, is our Creator who loves us and will stop at nothing to save us. His promise is that if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no further parameters here. It's really that simple. God wants you to be a part of His family. He's paid the ultimate price. He's bought you with His blood. And all you need to do is grasp the salvation that He is extending to you and ask Him to forgive you and save you. So don't hide from Him. Don't run away. Don't think He doesn't care or doesn't understand or won't have you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Why not turn to Him today? He will make you whole again. Let me pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, it is our desire to walk with You. It is our desire, Lord, to give You all of our lives and to have You cleanse us. Lord, Your promise is that if we give You our sin, You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, we ask that today You will come into our hearts and that You will make us whole again. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your kindness and the sacrifice that You made for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Whatever this new week has in store for you, you can have hope. God bless.
Thank you so much for those inspiring words.
Amen. And thank you, friends, for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We'll have a dedicated prayer session, and we'll be talking about the man who started a reformation. Be sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible studies have helped so many people connect with Jesus. So be sure to start yours today. Again, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
You know, as a runner, I love that verse.
I do too.
Running without getting weary. You know, friends, as you go about your day and throughout your life, always keep in mind that God has an incredible place waiting for you and me. That place is our eternal home. Heaven. He promises to lift you up in this life as you walk with Him and prepare for eternity. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, oh, we take this promise to heart. May we endure until the end, depending, relying on your strength and your endurance to get us through. Thank you, Lord, for making that promise real for us today, right now. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.